I know you don't smoke weed. I know this. But I'm gonna get you high today. Cause it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Keep the heads ringing. Keep the heads ringing.
Welcome, everybody, to another exciting edition to the most fun podcast ever. Throwback Tuesday, episode 9. Y'all remember this time?
That's good.
I'm your host, the Phenomenal One, from sportspodcast.com, of course.
This is Z from EO Podcast and thefancritic.com.
And we got an interesting movie here today. I never thought in a lifetime I'd be reviewing this. I gotta say, I never thought I'd be reviewing this. But out of the polling we put up this past Tuesday, we had Friday, 1995, Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, against Half Baked, 1998 Half Baked, Dave Chappelle, and the rest of a bunch of guys you probably don't know of. And the polling was very, it was a close but fair polling here. I mean, the voting went very well. Half Baked hung in there, but you know what? Friday just beat it by, you know, 60 votes. You
know? It was close.
It was very close. I mean, you know, Half Baked coming in with 2 votes. Friday coming in with 62 votes. That was very close. You know, 60 to go, boys, but, you know, hey.
And I was one of the Half Baked votes.
I didn't vote at all in this polling this time because I haven't had time for those. I just put it up there and I was like, ah, whatever. Whatever we win, whatever. I'll just watch both anyway. But
I think you knew Friday was going to win.
I didn't know it was going to win by this goddamn much.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I've been planning on picking Friday for one of my movies.
Yeah.
And then when you said that, I'm like, son of a bitch.
Well, I remember because my last picks have been somewhere around 2010 and 11, so I wanted to go back a little further or something. And I wanted to step into the comedy world. We haven't done a comedy film yet, so you know, besides Transformers, but still.
Yeah. Independence Day?
Yeah, that too, whatever. But, you know, that African nigga in District 9, but, you know, hey.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, you know, I had to pick a movie that I was like, you know, something that I loved as a child and I loved as today, even now, that I still say it is one of the best comedies, especially with an all-black cast. That's one of the best all-black cast comedies I've seen.
Yeah, there's not one white person in this movie.
No, come on, it's Inglewood and Compton, come on now. You know the goddamn well it wasn't. In 1995, those white people didn't exist in these cities at the time, where they're like, oh god, those niggers with attitudes are there, oh my god.
Yeah.
Once they realized NWA went away, then they was like, we can move back now? Alrighty then. Alright.
No, but I just got watching this, I just found out that when they go, damn, that's one of the most, that's one of the top quotes in movie history.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, and you got knocked the fuck out, too.
Yeah. AFI's 100 Years, 100 Movie Quotes, damn, was nominated.
Yeah, and as far as like being a fan quote or whatever, people still say damn like that. People say you got knocked the fuck out still. You know, they even use that in TV shows sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Some black ones they do, whatever. So,
but
I remember, I want to say a year ago, I think it was a year or 2 years ago, I watched it on Stars, kind of like they showed an Ice Cube movie or whatever, and they were talking about the original Friday or whatever, and he said that in his, he's like, you know what, we never expected to get Chris Tucker on here or whatever. We wasn't expecting an actor like him to come on scene or whatever, and we didn't really write any lines for him or anything. He did everything ad-libbing or whatever, and it just flowed so perfectly for the movie that we just kept it all in.
I believe that he, all of his stuff was ad-libbed.
I kind of believe everybody did, actually, at the point.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm not trying to say like it was bad writing, but I just felt like it just everything was flowing naturally, and that this is what, cause you know me growing up in L.A., you know, especially the streets they were on, Normandy and Weston.
Ride,
nigga. We used to hang out like this, you know. We used to talk.
So this took you back to your youth.
Hell yeah, dude. I mean, when I was a kid, and I watched this. Man, I had older cats that used to do this or whatever, that used to try to, hey, come here, youngster, let me tell you young punks about something. So, you know, this is a normal day in L.A. for me.
Yeah, I believe it.
Very relatable. Oh, and we still have the town bully that rides that fucking beach cruiser.
My question is, Ice Cube said, "Is like, damn, it's hot. Why the fuck are you wearing a flannel? Why is everybody wearing fucking nothing summer? I don't know if it's, well, L.A. clothes. It's all flannel and pants and..."
Back at, I think it was, wasn't it Chris Tucker that said that?
I don't think anyway. I don't remember if he said anything.
Oh, no, I'm about to say Chris Tucker was the one that said, damn, it's hot.
Well, he might have said it, but Ice Cube said it too, I know.
Okay, well, you know, hey, 95, that's what we used to wear back then, baby. Sure, we had the flannels, Dickies, and old-ass Air Force Ones, or some slippers.
You were, how old were you back, 95?
95, I was about 7, 8.
Okay.
And my grandma made me watch this.
I was 14.
Okay, so yeah, you was at a perfect age for this. For me, I remember even at that age, I was laughing my ass off watching this, whatever. And I remember, still today, I used to always wait for a Jehovah Witness to come knock on my door so I could do the same shit that happened in this movie. Halo, are you waiting for Jehovah's return? Because I have a pamphlet, slam the door right on that bitch or whatever. Well, fuck you too.
that was funny, and I kind of hope I want to do that too.
it's like, that was like one of the fun, favorite comedy openings ever. That's how I was in L.A. though, man. Back when I was a child, Jehovah used to constantly knock on our doors. And not so much now, it's more Mexican Jehovah's, but you know.
Nah. So, before I get into that, we can pretty much say that we're going to be pretty racist on this one.
Hey,
forewarn you.
When aren't we racist? What are you talking about?
Well, this is probably going to be the most racist one we do.
I don't know, that District 9 one, that was a
little... Well, if we do Boys in the Hood, whenever, but...
Okay, that ain't racist, that's real.
I think, you said this is real.
This is real.
So, but the movie stars Ice Cube, Chris Tucker, Nia Long, who's more famous for Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
She's very famous at this time, around 95 to 99.
Yeah, that was Fresh Prince, yeah.
Yeah, that was when Nia Long was in her prime. And goddamn, rewatching the movie, I was like, goddamn,
yeah.
Sponge.
Yeah, and she actually makes short hair look good.
Oh, hell yeah, she made short hair back then. Everybody's saying, oh, Rihanna did. Nah, Nia Long started that shit.
Yeah. Bernie Mac's got a small role.
Funny ass role, too.
Tiny Zeus Lister.
Yeah, Tommy Lister, Devo.
That's great. John Witherspoon, who, I'm not going to lie, he came off a lot of Red Fox to me. From Sanford and Son.
Earlier in his career, said that Red Fox is one of his biggest comedic inspirations.
Okay.
So probably he does try to hone in his Red Fox abilities or whatever. But yeah, he has said that on this because he was on the Richard Pryor show, and Paul Mooney was the one that found him. And I remember seeing a documentary about John Witherspoon, and he was talking about one of his favorite comedians and stuff. And Red Fox came in, and said he loved Red Fox.
Paul Mooney, the guy from Chappelle Show.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, Paul Mooney found a lot of black comedians back then, whatever, and wrote for Richard Pryor, of course, and stuff like that. David Banks, he found Robin Williams.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, Tim Meadows, all of them, or whatever. So yeah.
Okay, Tim Meadows is actually a funny guy.
Yeah, Paul Mooney's the godfather of comedy.
I believe it. He's fucking hilarious on Chappelle's Show.
Yeah, you got to check out some of his shows he's done, and they're fucking hilarious. He'll leave you just standing there with your mouth open like, he just said that. yeah, but Depot, Tommy Lister is in it?
Yeah.
Back my senior year in high school, whatever. That is a huge motherfucker.
Yeah, he looks huge. Does he just go by Zeus because of No Holds Barred?
I think so, yeah.
From when he wrestled? Yeah.
Man, that dude is a big motherfucker. I would never.
Is he 7? 7 foot?
You know how short I am.
Yeah.
Add 4 more feet to that shit or whatever. Like, okay, you got like, what, probably like 2, probably a couple inches higher than me. Whatever.
I'm like 5'11", maybe close to 6.
Oh, yeah, he's pushing 7 then.
Yeah.
He'd make you look small.
Yeah, I believe that guy. I mean, he's big, too.
It'd take the whole Eye Open podcast and Pictures crew and Movie Spoilers crew to jump this motherfucker.
Well, he'll always see us coming because of his weird eye.
Oh, yeah, that weird eye rotating. I would never make fun of that. But no, this dude is real cool, though. He's actually pretty funny, too, whatever.
I believe it.
Someone like him be real serious and shit, but no, he's actually pretty comedic.
Regina King's in this from, she was in Jerry Maguire.
She was in Wayne's Brothers along with John Witherspoon as well. I mean, not Regina King, I'm thinking of the Witherspoon's wife in the movie.
Oh, Anna Marie Horsford?
Yeah, Anna Marie, her and John Witherspoon's in the Wayne's, but Regina King, wow, she's pretty old today.
Yeah, Faison Love.
Faison. Who would have thought this dude from Friday would be in the comedies he's in today?
Yeah. He's actually kind of funny. He's done a little stand-up. He's pretty funny.
Yeah, I love this dude. He has, I can't remember the name of it. He has a stand-up on Netflix that he hosts and shit. Can't remember the name of it. But he brings on a bunch of other comedians and shit, and he's pretty fucking hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
DJ Pooh.
Who's
good? DJ Pooh playing Red.
Yeah, and he wrote this with Ice Cube.
When Ice Cube wrote it, he wrote himself a bigger role in here, but...
Yeah. Tony Cox, the little midget. And a little supplies.
No other black midget is gonna get work because of this motherfucker.
Nope. I think Spilker said that too. He's like, they always CGI him because he never looks like he ages.
He never ages. This brother, this is 95. The last movie I remember him in, that motherfucker still looks the same, whatever. This dude, no other midget has gotten work because of this motherfucker.
Yeah.
Damn, get some of that midget gene, then you need to find this brother, inject his ass with it.
And you got three cameos who I don't... Did you know Michael Clark Duncan's in it?
Yeah, and did you know Megan Good was in it too?
I just saw that too. I was about to say that.
I never knew that until I watched it the other day and saw the credits. Because I never paid attention to the credits. And I was like, Megan Good? I was like, what? I started watching the movie over again. I was like, oh, fuck, she is.
Is she the girl that says I hate that guy?
What scene was that?
The ice cream truck.
Oh, yeah, the ice cream, yeah. Yes. And I was like, damn. She still look good.
Yeah. She's fine now.
Oh my god, yeah. That fucking age has hit her very well. Very well.
And the director, F. Gary Gray.
F. Gary Gray, of course. I remember the last thing I remember seeing him in. I know he's in an Italian Job.
He did Law Abiding Citizen, Man Apart, Negotiator.
He was a big hip-hop head back in the day.
Oh, yeah, he did so many freaking videos.
Oh, and let's not forget, at the end of the movie, Dub C. The rapper from West Side Connection with Ice Cube and Mac 10 or whatever. He was the dude shooting at Chris Tucker and them.
Oh, was that him?
Yeah, that was him with the beanie on.
Oh, okay. The one that said, I got him.
Yeah. He's like, I know I got him, man, because Chris Tucker fucking shooting. He's like, you messing with a smoke dog, baby. He starts,
But
this is the first movie I saw with Chris Tucker, and after this movie, like, to me, he's been like one of my favorite black actors after this movie. Even in movies I don't like or whatever, or not care for, I always found him to be, I want to say, not on the level as charismatic as Denzel, Will, or anything like that, whatever, but, like, he has a lot of charm that he brings to the film. Where I hear people saying that he can be annoying sometimes, and I go, like, well, have you seen the movie he's in? It sucks. He's actually bringing life to it, you know?
Well, he doesn't do anything anymore.
Only thing he's done so far, I know he's making his, because he's recently said he's making his move back to the movies now, whatever. The last thing he did was Silver Linings Playbook, which he was fucking perfect in. All those people that got said that Chris Tucker is getting annoying, or he was getting annoying, whatever, they used him just right in that movie as far as his comedic lines and everything. He was fucking fantastic in that movie, so...
Yeah, he just does Rush Hours. He's been doing Rush... He's done three Rush Hours and Silver Linings since 98. Yeah.
Rush Hour 2007 was his last film before he came back last year with Silver Linings.
Yeah, so he became a big star because he got... three big parts in Money Talks, Fifth Element, and Jackie Brown after Friday. But
and my favorite role is the Fifth Element.
He was weird.
That shit just had me laughing just looking at him when he I just looked at him for the longest because he's a tall, at the time, because now he's got a little beat on him, but he was just a tall, skinny dude, all flamboyant and shit like that, and he was just loud. I was like, oh, but no, that was hilarious. But yeah, I love Chris Tucker though. Like, I'm always excited to see his next movie. I remember before Silver Linings came out, people telling me you really want to see that movie. I was like, got Chris Tucker in it, man. He's coming back. I was like, it's gonna be good or whatever.
They should have promoted that. They would have got a lot of black audience.
Oh yeah, they probably would have actually banked in some more money at the time. But the movie didn't really bank much money until it came. It got started getting Oscar buzz.
Yeah.
So now we got on the characters. What'd you think of Ice Cube?
I like Ice Cube as an actor. This was this and Three Kings might have been probably some of his best roles.
I do not have a problem with Ice Cube whatsoever in any of his films as far as his acting. Or I think it's not the best acting. I don't even think it's the worst acting. I think it's just he's bringing something there. He's there. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's doing something. I mean, is he gonna get nominated or anything like that? No. I think for this movie, he should have.
Maybe for, I think he got nominated for maybe an MTV award.
For this movie?
Maybe, did he?
I don't know. MTV award, that ain't no award. That's bullshit. No. Bullshit has award. They'll get that award to anybody these days.
But now, I liked Ice Cube. He seemed really natural doing this.
It did, right? It just felt like, that's why I said it felt like it wasn't even a script, honestly. It just felt like they just turned on the camera and just let the movie roll.
Well, if you look at his career, every role he's done, every movie, it's pretty much been a main role of the movie.
Oh, yeah. I think one problem I will have with his acting this day, whatever, not even his acting, it's more of his directing-wise, whatever, and writing-wise, is he really wants to create that next Friday movie. He really tries, but he's looking more for, towards, the family genre style of it.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta understand this first Friday movie, that was like a genie in a bottle, you know.
Yeah, well, they are coming out with another Friday movie.
Yeah, and they bring in pretty much the whole damn cast from all three of them.
Thank God. Why have I ever seen Friday After Next?
Next Friday was the worst one to me.
I didn't mind it because I liked the neighbors, the Mexican neighbors. Those were pretty. Those guys were pretty funny.
I thought Mike Epps replacing Chris Tucker, that was a horrible fucking choice. I did not like Mike Epps or whatever. And Friday After Next it's all right. I enjoyed it. Cat Williams it's funny as fuck. I could watch it again. So whatever, it's not bad. I enjoy that one. Next Friday, I don't give two shits about. So Chris Tucker, of course, Ice Cube, main characters here. How about a plot synopsis?
Well, simple synopsis is that Craig gets fired from his job the day before. How do you get fired? On your day off.
You got to be a stupid motherfucker. The look on Craig's face when Smokey tells him that shit, he's just like, motherfucker. Because they were talking about he's like, they said they called me on tape. I went to go pick up my check, whatever, stealing boxes or whatever. He's like, the fuck you trying to do, Bill? Come on, man. The fuck you doing stealing boxes? Man, I know you didn't go out like that, man.
What's up, man?
What's up?
How you at work?
Got fired yesterday.
For real? I thought you had a day off yesterday.
I did. I went in there to pick up my check, came home. Supervisor called me about 4:00, talking about they got me on videotape stealing boxes.
What the fuck you stealing boxes for? What, you trying to build a clubhouse?
And then pretty much we just find out that Smokey owes Big Worm money.
So Big Worm?
How much you got left?
I got a lot.
You still ain't sold that weed, Smokey?
And I'm trying to, huh? Niggas are broke these days.
I don't think you applying yourself, Smokey.
Huh?
You smoking my shit?
Hell no. Fuck with your shit? Hell no.
You smoking my shit?
Now why would I do some shit like that?
I'm gonna have to fuck you up, Smokey. Playing with my money is like playing with my emotions.
Wow. Now you the last brother money I mess with. I steal from my mama before I mess with your shit. And you know this, man.
I want to say it's exactly $200 or...
Yeah, it's exactly $200, which back in 95, $200 was like a fucking $1,000.
Yeah. Well, and then they pretty much figure out a plan to get the money or get him the weed that Smokey smoked.
Pretty much they just spend the rest of the movie sitting on the porch doing an average LA thing, meeting characters, that keep coming to the porch are happening and everything, and they keep thinking of ideas of how they gonna get the money, and this shit's fail, and then next you know it just ends up with Craig pretty much knocking the shit out of the town bully and shit that just beats on everybody and anybody he wants and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty much. The plot is like you said, it's real simple in this movie. The movie's like barely like an hour and a half, and it goes through really quickly. It flows through smoothly. And every scene, I have to say, added a bit of humor with these characters that kept coming in that I could not stop laughing. And I'm
well,
sorry.
Since the plot's very similar, let's just go character by character, since they all tie in with the movie at some point.
Yeah, we pretty much already went through all the cast or whatever. The characters we got here, we got I think the first one they meet, obviously, is Ezell. Crackhead, you know.
Oh, you're never going to catch a crackhead.
Man, that dude plays a crackhead.
I wonder if did they really find a crackhead?
That dude has been in some, I think the last movie I remember seeing him in was I Got the Hookup with Master P. I haven't seen, you know what, the Players Club, he was in that as well, whatever. So, you know, he plays in like those smaller black films or whatever and shit. But that dude, man, did he look like a crackhead.
I loved when they were at the black-owned convenience store with the Chinese.
It says black-owned at the convenience liquor store where they go to pick up the cigs and stuff like that. And then next thing, this Asian dude just pops up and goes, "Dum! How are you, my brother?" He's got like a beanie on and a flannel shirt and shit on like that, like that's half unbuttoned and shit.
And then Ezell slips on a non-wet floor. Oh, sue for $150,000. We'll set out a court for $50.
How about some Twizzlers and a $20 bill?
Oh my god, oh I'm hurt. I fall, I'm suing y'all. Oh, I'm hurt. Oh, my neck, my neck and my back. Oh, I want $150,000.
But we can set out of court right now for $20.
Man, get your punk ass up. It ain't even wet over here.
Hey, well, look here, man. Just give me $10 and I won't say nothing.
Get out.
$250 and a jawbreaker.
Get out.
$1 is an envelope.
Man, what the hell are you doing?
Man, you know how much money you can get for a slip and fall in the stove?
Man, you need to stay off that crack, man.
Get out. Man, you wrong, brother. You wrong.
Man, you gotta stop smoking that crack. He's like, man, you know how much you can get in a store for a slip and fall? I don't think it's a liquor store, brother. I think you gotta go to a restaurant. Man, get your punk ass up. It ain't even wet right there. So.
Then the night when I just got done watching this before we did the show. Did they pay for his freaking 40 he had? I don't think they did.
I don't think they paid for anything in that store. The funny thing is, we talked about quotes earlier, my neck and my back. That's a quote too still today. Bro.
It is. I think they used it in some of those Help I'm Falling commercials.
Oh, hell yeah. They are. Oh, my neck and my back. I know people that still talk about that shit whenever they do something. I'm like, okay.
And Ezell catches Smokey taking a shit.
Smokey, what the hell are you doing back here?
Hey, nothing, man. Hey, I'm fixing something. Hey, just stay over there.
But I thought you wanted me to wash your car.
Hey, man, wash it later. Stay over there.
Smokey, you know I ain't the smartest man in the world, but from over here, it look like you taking a shit.
Ezell, get the hell
out
of my back.
Oh, look, you been eating corn, huh?
Oh, get the hell out of my back. God, man.
All right, man, but look, between me and you, man, when you're done, I clean all that shit up for you for $2.
Hey, Ezell.
What?
You better not tell nobody, man.
Man, I'm not, man.
Keep it on the down low.
All right, I'm not like that. I'm going to keep it down, bro. La, la. Hey, Smokey back here taking a shit.
Ezell.
Well, I ain't gonna tell nobody else.
No, but before that, you remember when they got in the car and it took off and Ezell's walking away and he heard the car, like, it, like, shoots off, but it sounds like a gun and Ezell hits that corner.
Oh, is that why he did it? Okay. I was wondering, I thought he was just freaking out or something, I don't know.
I remember back when I was younger, back in L.A., whenever we heard shit like that, we used to do that shit. They shoot me. But yeah, that's why he did it, though, because he thought they were shooting at us.
No, that was some funny shit.
Man, he hit that corner fast.
And then when Smokey's trying to steal from Devo, when he just happens to go into a house, too.
What was the reason why he walked to the house? It's because Janet Jackson.
A whole nigga. That's Janet Jackson. Oh, Janet Jackson. The girl Debbie hooked me up with. Oh. Hey, hold up. I'll be right back.
Hey, see if she got a friend.
I...
Not a damn thing.
So we gonna kick it or what?
We can kick it, but I forgot I had to go pick up my mom from work, and you know how that is.
That's all right. I'll take you to get it.
Nah, she don't like a lot of people with me when I go get her.
Who's that girl Smokey's talking to?
Some girl he hooked up with.
She's a big one.
Humongous.
Look, why don't you go to the street and get something to eat? I know you hungry.
Cause see, I ate twice before I came.
God damn!
You gonna call me?
I'ma call you. But if you come by, I won't call you. Okay? Don't ever come by here. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Bye, Smokey.
Daddy
got saying it right now. Even today, that is the funniest shit in all comedy history. That scene right there. I'm sorry. That with the set this up right here is Nia Long's character. She comes over and Smokey's like, "But you had a friend who's gonna hook me up." She's like, "Here's her number. Give her a call." He gives her a call. And he think, honestly, I thought he was talking to some fine ass girl too, because she's all smooth and sexy on the phone. Mm-hmm. She's like, "I'm like 5'2", I'm light skinned, long hair, big."
And yeah, she, like, just said big too, so that could have been she's big.
Well, back then that meant thick, you know, big ass.
Oh, okay. Well, she did have a big ass.
So I understand what Smokey was thinking. I'm over here on the phone. I'm like, "Smokey, don't get in." And when she rolls up to the house, because they like, "Who that car rolling up here, whatever?" It's like, "What time is 7:30? He's like, "Oh, crap. That's Janet Jackson. That's the who? Janet Jackson, man." All you hear Craig in the background going like, "Lucky, man. See if she got a friend, man." He's like, all right. And all you hear is, "Ooh, what's up?" Puts his head down. He says, "Not a damn thing." She gets out of the car. She farts, first of all. And Smokey starts kicking the car and shit. He, I swear, the look on his face, he gave her, he looked all the way up and down her body and was like, "Damn!" Mm-hmm.
And then she took off her hat.
Because the first thing that came out of his mouth was Craig's mom's pillow. Craig's mom's like, "Smokey talked to some girl, Debbie hooked him up, or whatever. She's a big one, or whatever." And then he's like, "Why don't you go down the street? I know you're hungry." And she's like, "Nah, see, because I didn't add 3 meals before I got you to take that hat off." God damn!
Oh my god.
He starts rubbing his face and shit. I'm just like, at what point in the girl's mind does she think that he's still interested?
"You gonna call me? I'll call you. Just don't come over. If you come over, I won't call you." That, I swear to God, that is something, like, I've done. Like, I've met, like, a girl that was not cute. And she's like, "Are you gonna call me?" "Yeah, don't come over, but I'll call you."
Well, let me, I got a story for you, too, then, whatever. Ever since I've seen this, I've never once had a girl over my place. Yeah. Even if I'm already dating them, whatever, I've never once had them over my place. My last one, Janae, she's been over my place or whatever. But, you know, just other than that, I've never let anyone over my place for that simple fact. That shit freaked me the fuck out. I was like, "But she sounded so hot on the phone."
And don't ever agree when a girl says she looks like someone hot. Yeah, do the opposite.
Oh, my God. This is how you know, like... this is the part right here where Chris Tucker became one of my favorite black actors for the simple fact that his reaction was fucking priceless when she got out of that car.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go to acting school or film school or anything like that for the reaction he had. That was a legitimate natural reaction. He made it feel like he really had to date her after this movie was was over.
That was pure improv.
That had to be pure improv. Now, I don't think that could have been delivered any other better. I mean, that was just fucking hilarious. And then the scene after she gets done, she's like, bye, Smoke. She grabs his ass. He girl's like, ugh. Like,
and then,
like, he got raped or something.
And then he starts doing his little hissy fit, and he goes, Debbie! And runs.
Debbie, I'm gonna kill that bitch! And he runs to Debbie's house, and this is the scene. This is another funny scene. He's beating on the door. He's like, get over here, Debbie. Why are you looking up with that fat-ass, bald-head girl? And she's like, Rita? Rita's not fat. She's big. Shit! That girl wilder than all outside. Shit.
That was a funny line.
Talking about she looked like Jan Jackson. Ooh, no, she didn't go there. That bitch got out the car looking like Freddie Jackson.
Come here.
What?
Why you hook me up with that fat-ass, bald-head girl?
Who, Rita?
Yeah.
Rita is not fat. She's just big bone.
Shit! That girl wide and all outside. Talking about she looked like Janet Jackson.
Ooh, no, she didn't go there.
Yeah. Bitch got out of the car looking more like Freddie Jackson. Don't laugh, it ain't funny.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to laugh. I just thought that you two would like each other.
You knew she was bald hair. You knew she had no damn head.
I had to look who Freddie Jackson up was. I had to look who that was.
That's another quote in the movie, that people still Oh my god, that whole scene with the Janet Jackson scene, that shit was just... That was fucking phenomenal. That was fucking phenomenal. Like that, like you said, you can't teach this. You can't write this.
Mm-hmm.
That was straight ad lib.
Maybe the movie was just outlined and stuff was improv, because I don't agree with a lot of stuff was... Went by a script.
Do you think anybody really in here had to read any lines?
No. I don't think so. I would say maybe Witherspoon.
Yeah. I want to say, like, Ice Cube just told him, I want you to play ghetto. I want you to be tough guy. I want you to be this, because his girlfriend is ghetto as fuck in this movie.
Her name was Joy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Hood rat, hoot your mama.
Yeah, she was the definition of ghetto.
Who the fuck you go to the show with last night?
I didn't go to the show last night.
You ain't got to lie, Craig. You ain't got to lie.
Ain't nobody lying. I didn't go to the show last night.
Yes, you did. Because my sister-in-law's baby cousin, Tracy, she told me she went to the show last night. She saw you there all hugged up with some giraffe. Now tell me who she was.
Your sister-in-law's baby cousin, Tracy, is a goddamn... Yeah, she a lie. She ain't seen me at no movies hugged up with nobody.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you what. You just tell the bitch whoever she is. When I catch her, I'ma beat her ass.
Man, you remember when she was giving Craig shit on the phone, though? And she's like, come on, Auntie Baby Tracy cousin told me that you was at the show with some bitch. Now tell me who she was.
Mm-hmm. She had the fingernails look like Freddy Krueger.
But she had some dude laying up in bed with her, though.
Did he? Did she? I don't remember seeing that.
Okay, rewind the scene back if you rewatch the movie and just watch when she's going off on Craig on the phone. There's a dude laying on the other side of the bed with her.
Oh, I probably never even paid attention to that.
I was just paying attention to the background shit, and I was like, because all you see is like some blue dickies on, a white beater and some white socks on, and this black ass fuck dude with her. This dude laying straight up in the bed.
And then she gets pissed off when she sees Craig and Debbie walk out.
Oh, yeah.
And then Felicia.
Smokey's like, yeah, who that bitch? She's like, that's just Debbie Crosby. Get your ass in the house. Craig tried to get the money from her. He's like, let me loan $200 or whatever and shit. And Felicia with her crackheaded ass. Well, before we get in that or whatever, you know, Smokey offers Craig a joint to smoke or whatever. He's like, Smokey, man, it's Friday. You ain't got no job. You ain't got shit to do. Stimulate your mind, man.
It comes from the earth. God gave this for us.
They want us to have this.
Man, ain't nothing wrong with smoking weed.
Weed is from the earth. God put this here for me and you. Take advantage, man.
Which I guarantee you, after like, potheads watch this movie, they try to use that excuse in court.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they always hippies and shit now. That they want us to have it. That's why it's medicinal, man. They want us to have it now. And then pretty much, you know, Big Worm comes up and is like, yo, you got my money? Smokey's like, look here, man. Craig lost his job. You know how we do. We got fucked up. And he was like, the fuck that got to do with me?
The ice cream, where he goes, I want some chili Fritos.
Fuck you, fat boy. My money.
It was like probably like $2.
What you want?
What you got?
Boy, what the fuck you want?
Give me some chili Fritos.
Come here. Come here.
What's up, Big Perm? I mean, Big Worm?
You saw that, bud?
That's old son.
Well, give me the rest. Somebody want a couple 20s around the corner.
Nah, this bullshit. You know I sold that shit.
You count on my money.
Huh? Don't you see we having grown folks business? Damn. Now shut the hell up. 20. 40. 60. 80. 100. 120. 140. Hey, man,
that's $100. Stop playing with me, Smokey.
You know what happened? You gonna laugh your ass off. You know Craig? Craig got fired yesterday.
What the fuck that got to do with me?
Let me explain. We was talking over all our problems, right? And you know how we do it. We started getting high, nigga. We got fucked up.
Look, nigga, I'm gonna be here 10 o'clock on the dot. Not 10:03, not 10:36. If you ain't got my money or my bud, I'm killing you and him.
You gonna kill me?
Fuck out my face.
Bag back. Can I have my chili Fritos?
Can't have shit. I'm closed, fat boy.
Then give me my money back.
My money.
Mama!
Hey. Mama! And then Craig asked him, like, what'd he say? He's like, oh, we just buzzed to pay him, or he gonna kill us both. He's like, the fuck you mean, buzz? So, Felicia, she brings her crusty ass over here when they all high and shit. And this is another great scene right here. They like, what you want, Felicia? Because she's like the local, the smoked out beggar and shit. You know, she's like the female crackhead shit of the town, whatever, which every town back then had one. I know I had one back in Compton. We used to call my mom Miss Parker.
Hey, Miss Parker.
Hey. My mom was called Miss Parker the Parker.
That's a good thing, though.
My neighbors in the back, they used to be like, where your mom at, man? I was like, why? Man, she look. I like, I hear my mom, well, she does kind of look how look. But, so Felicia, she sits down, she's like, I need to borrow your car. And Smokey, he said, what kind of shit is that?
People want to borrow sugar?
Maybe even ketchup. You want to borrow my car? She's not there. She's like, hell no!
I need to borrow your car right quick.
What kind of shit is that? Most people want to borrow sugar. They even ketchup. You want to borrow my car? Hell no! Come on.
Well, let me borrow your
job. You need to borrow your job. Yo, bro. Always trying to smoke up somebody's shit. Yeah, hell on, Felicia.
I'm gonna remember that.
Remember it. Write it down. Take a picture. I don't give a fuck.
Crap.
The reaction on Chris Tucker's face. Phenomenal. I'm sorry, but when she asked him to borrow his car, he said, that kind of shit is that? Because I ain't never heard nobody say, let me borrow your car. Neither. That's some shit right there. That's some bold shit right there.
Mm-hmm. Then she wanted to borrow Craig's VCR because she wanted a double tape.
Yeah, she Craig! I need to borrow your VCR. Why? I want to double tape something. It's a mag. And his ghetto ass girlfriend's like, nuh-uh, you think you slick trying to ask me for some fucking money? Well, then you need to ask that bitch. Oh, man. I love this movie. I mean, if it ain't told now, I fucking love this movie.
Felicia and Ezell fucking their plans up.
Oh, yeah.
It's always the worst ones, too.
Yeah, because after the scene, we get to Chris Tucker or Smokey's talking to Nia Long's character after he yells at her for hooking him up with that fat bitch, whatever. He tries to say, because he finds out Debo's up in there for us, like, with Felicia shit. He's like, he knows that Debo, Rob Stanley, the douchebag black neighbor that we have.
The white guy.
Yeah, the white black guy, which every town back then also had as well, growing up. they robbed him earlier, took $200, and that's how much they need. So, you know, Smokey was going to sneak through the window and rob that motherfucker back, but...
Your ass didn't want to touch nothing. We didn't the whole time arguing.
So y'all didn't get nothing?
Hell yeah. You got about $200, huh, D-Buck?
I got about $200.
Huh?
This dude has some shitty-ass draws, first of all. Smokey's reaction, when he walked over there, he looks at, oh, God!
How he kept quiet, I'll never know, because that was just really funny.
Especially when he said to pick it up with a straw, and then he dropped on Debo's face. And, like, Debo's face was, like, following it as, like, he picked it up.
He takes a drink and just sniffs the straw and just slowly goes back.
Before that, fucking Ezell comes in and fucking... He's like, hey, Smokey, what you doing? He's like, Sam, what the fuck you doing? He's like, I saw the window open, so I said, fuck it. And Debo wakes up, and they both go on, whatever, and you can hear in the background, like, them two yelling at each other, like, Smokey trying to chase him and shit. Debo fucking takes a sip of that shit, and he's like, I'm assuming that he fucking woke up and realized that, oh, this some bitch, somebody was fucking with my pants and shit like that, so he beats the living shit out of Felicia.
Yeah.
They get back, cause he wakes up right away or whatever, and then Smokey gets back with Craig and shit. He's like, I almost had them. Well, Craig's still laughing about Janet Jackson and shit.
I'm clowning.
I'm clowning. So, cause as soon as Smokey knocks on the door, all you hear is
the bike.
Smokey's like, man, nothing, fuck all that, man. I almost had the money, man. And so, the next door, this when, drive-by happens when they fucking shoot up at Smokey and Craig and shit.
And how can a guy with a machine gun shoot them 8 times and not hit one thing?
He didn't hit not a goddamn soul of, well, the only 2 people was out was fucking Smokey and Craig anyway.
Yeah, and they couldn't hit him one thing when Smokey was standing there on top of a fence shooting.
Nope. How many people was shooting too? I think it was more than just, well,
I think it was two. I think one was driving and two. Because it was at the end, the very end of the movie, it's said that Big Worm sent them.
Yeah, but Big Worm. See, they weren't Big Worm.
Yeah, because Worm's supposed to come back at 10 o'clock to get his money, or his weed.
Get his money and his weed.
Oh, okay. And it's... So it kind of, like, ruined the... Why wouldn't... I don't know why, but Worm sent the guys to kill them.
Yeah. Remember, he was paging them, and they didn't respond to him? And then
okay.
He did respond, he's like, I ain't got your money yet, and he just hung up on him.
Oh, okay. That was, so that was before that, yeah.
Yeah, that was at that scene where they went back in the house or whatever, and before they got kicked out, and, cause Worm had been paging him, and Smokey never returned, then he finally returned one of the calls, and he's like, you got my money? Nah, man, but I'm gonna get you, and all you heard, Craig's like, what happened? He hung up on me. So, I'd assume you need to call him right away when you got his money or whatever, or... Send him the goons out to come look for y'all. So we get to the, you know, after the choose off scene, we see Debo and D-Long steps over his face. He's like, hey, look, hey, shit, you lucky. I ain't a man. I'll beat your ass myself, but I ain't scared of you like these Hutch. He even say, all these niggas might be scared of you, but I ain't scared of you.
Dude, I'm not gonna lie. That made her hot.
Shit, I'm busy going through my pants while I was asleep.
My sister don't need to steal nothing from your broke ass, all right?
Better take your ass home.
I'm not scared of you. All these niggas around here might be scared of you, but I'm not.
You take your ass home.
No, fuck you. You lucky I'm not a man, otherwise I kick your ass myself.
We finally agree on something.
That was hot.
That was sexy as fuck. I'm like, honestly, if I was Craig too, I'd have stepped up too. I'd be like, man, shit, that's a woman right there.
Yeah.
I remember I used to have like the biggest crush on Nia Long back then. Oh my god, Nia Long was like my fucking. She's like what Megan Good was to me now, or whatever. Like, I mean, Nia Long was the shit. When I saw this scene, I was just like, even in Fresh Prince, she always like stood up and shit like that, whatever. Like telling Will what it was, whatever. I always liked that, but she was like the Black Mary Jane from the Spider-Man.
Okay. I see that. If there's a Black Spider-Man, she would be Mary Jane.
Yeah, she's like feisty and strong, but she's sexy as well, you know. Mm-hmm. So you know.
Oh, when she's running down this jogging down the street.
Oh my god!
I was waiting for the slow motion Baywatch style.
Oh, and they did do that too. They like zoomed in a little bit of land. So even in that sweatshirt, she was looking good. Right?
Yeah, she's. Oh yeah.
She's still looking good, whatever. And, but yeah, when she got up in Debo's face, whatever, she dragged Felicia all over. I was like. Oh shit! But it was just like in that scene where Red got uppercutted.
Oh, the flashback when they were playing dice.
When they were shooting dice, whatever, and Red was like, "Hey, what's the beach cruise I let you on?" And he's like, "My bike pony." Uppercutted the fuck out of him, whatever. Remember when his father got out the car and he's like, "Oh, somebody's too old, man." He was like, "No."
I'm tripping, man. You want me to ask for my bike back? You know I wouldn't trip. What bike?
The beach cruiser. The one I let you use a couple of weeks ago. The one I've been asking you about.
Oh, that bike. Hey, no, you wanted it back, homie. It's right here. Follow me. Yeah, it's just like it's both ours. Keep it down at my house. Cool.
Oh, shit!
That's my bike, punk!
Well, who was? You know who that was, Dad? Because I've seen him before.
Yeah, he's an old comedian. I always forget his name, though. I remember I used to watch his stand-up when I was younger, as a child. And he used to be in a lot of other films as well.
Because I remember he's actually red-haired.
Yeah. I can't remember if he died or not, either.
Yeah, because I don't see him. I don't know his name, but...
I forgot it. I'd have to ask
him. Oh, Red's... Ronaldo Ray.
It was Ronaldo Ray.
Reynardo. Yeah, he's...
I want to say he died not too long ago.
Wikipedia is not saying he is or not.
No? Okay. Ronaldo Ray. Yeah, that dude, man, that dude used to be... He used to be another one that used to hang out with Red Fox and them too as well.
Mm-hmm.
Been John Witherspoon, and they all got along. I mean, everybody... I think you could tell off the bat, like, everybody in this film got along, and it looked like they did this for fun, and the camaraderie between everyone, it's definitely there.
Yeah, I mean...
You don't see in too many comedy films these days, because it's just gag after gag after gag.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, every character adds something new to the movie.
Yeah, it brings that comedy element. There's not one character in here I say, well, they could have took that out. They could even with Bernie Mac being in here so short, you think like a big act, big comedian like himself, what is he doing a small role like that? His line was funny as fuck.
Oh, Bernie Mac.
Yeah, Bernie Mac. Excuse me, sir. We what we call a 72nd Baptist Church downhill. We call that a little sin. Well, around here between Normandy and Western, we call this here little 20 twin wild nigga.
Then he goes, "Let me get some of that for my cataract."
Yeah, my cataract. You didn't put in on this, man.
Excuse me, brother. What we call drug the 74th Street Baptist Church. We call us sin.
Well, around here, between Normandy and Weston, we call this here a little twin.
Wow.
Nigga.
Why don't you just give him a little bit for my cataract?
You didn't put in on this, man.
Why didn't he just try to sell it to him?
And then Craig told him. That's a good question, actually. Smokey wasn't selling shit. He was smoking all of it. That's why.
So he sold it to Hector.
Yeah, he had to because Craig made him sell it.
Yeah.
I think that was before he got Craig involved in that shit too, whatever. Craig's like, look, she's bending over. And then Bernie Mac's eyes got all big, and she's like, Lord have mercy, the Lord is my shepherd, and he's calling for me, Miss Polka.
Which, if you, they kind of forgot about this story for a little bit, because there's a lot of gap in between the story with Miss Parker and the Reverend and Mr. Parker. But if you watch when Hector almost hits him when he's walking the street,
Hector almost hit his neck.
That you see in the background, that you see them already going into the house, Parker and Bernie Mac, And then, like, 5 minutes later, they show it again. So, it's a little, you know, it's noticeable on my part.
They show it again, him getting chased down by Mr. Parker. That's what they show.
Yeah, and that was, you don't even see him. The point is that you see the car pull in, then you see Ice Cube, and he goes back in the house because his phone's ringing.
That's a great shooting right there, I gotta say.
Well, I'll tell you a great shot they did is when they left Stanley's house when they left Stanley's house and they were on the porch and they shot straight shot and they turned the camera around to Stanley. Mm-hmm. That was a cool shot.
Yeah, that was a good shot. And like the way when Mr. Parker rolls up in the car, or whatever. Because I wasn't expecting what I saw, honestly, whatever. And you know, you expected probably it's like some big bulging dude. And the way they shot that, I thought that was. Actually, that's pretty goddamn good for Ice Cube to mm-hmm. his first time directing, writing, and shit like that. Well, not directing; he didn't direct this. I think Gary.
That's Gary Gray, yeah.
Yeah, Gary Gray did this or whatever. But I thought it was really, really shot well. Actually, whatever. There's some scenes that go through quick, whatever, like a comedy film does. Whatever. This one shoots through every scene kind of quicker than usual.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd be lying if I was saying that each scene I laughed at like hard at each scene and. Even towards the end, where Nia Long gets up in that face, like you said, that was sexy as fuck. And then Craig comes over there. I thought Craig shot his ass. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But that first shot, because he pulls a gun out on him, because he's like, get knocked out when your father used to, whatever. He pulls that gun out, he blasts that trigger. I was like, damn, did he just shoot his big ass? I like how Craig's father's like, he's like, what you need a gun for, son? Use your fist. Or he's like, yeah, but fists don't work when other motherfuckers are shooting at you.
What's that for?
Protection? Protection from who?
Yeah, Smokey. I got to walk Smokey down to his house.
Oh, man. Your mother and I never would have moved in this neighborhood if we had known you need a gun to walk down the damn street.
No ideas around here.
Oh, no, son, that's not the way it is. You kids today are nothing but punks. Sissified. So quick to pick up a gun. You're scared to take an ass whipping. This one makes you a man. When I was growing up, this was all the protection we needed. You win some, you lose some. But you live to fight another day. And you think you're a man with that gun in your hand, don't you?
I'm a man without it.
That was like the only heart-to-heart moment that Ice Cube had with his dad.
Because his dad talking shit throughout the whole movie. And even that hard world moment, I was just like, Craig, can you tell him that people are coming looking for you with guns, not fists?
I mean, the bathroom scene where he's taking a shit.
Gotcha.
it tried to be a heart war, but it's just pretty much him. He goes, you either go to school or have a job. Rent's due at the first of the month.
Yeah, exactly, because you ain't got to worry about dog catching your ass. You ain't got to worry about you chasing no dog. You got to be worried about dog catching your ass. Then you hear that loud shit noise.
Well, he was so animated in that scene when he's taking a shit, even when he's shitting.
I always thought John Witherspoon was just animated in general. Like, any role he does, even in this one, I always thought he just, like, so animated or whatever. But his role on the Boondocks is fucking perfect, to be honest, playing Granddad.
Oh, the cartoon? Yeah, that's funny as shit.
Yeah. He's just an animated character altogether. His appearance, his looks, the way that motherfucker dresses.
I loved when Ice Cube, at the very beginning of the movie, Ice Cube's like, getting milk, and he closes it, and he goes, why are you always in the kitchen?
Eating up all the goddamn food.
Then he goes, pig's feet, collard greens, chicken,
hog maws. I want some of the pig's feet. I like pig. I want some of them collard greens. I love pig's feet.
Every time I come in the kitchen, you're in the kitchen. In the goddamn refrigerator. Eating up all the food. All the chicken. All the pig feet. All the collard greens. All the hog maws. I want to eat some of them chitlin. I love pig feet.
This motherfucker got a big-ass bag of grapes in his hand, smacking like a motherfucker. Like, I love the reaction on Craig's face, though. He's looking at him like...
Huh?
That's another thing we used to do back then, me and my brother's girl. We used to get the biggest fucking bowl or whatever and pour the whole box.
I could do that. I could eat a whole... That's a whole box right there. And he just had, maybe a quarter... Maybe a a quarter of a milk.
I don't know if you remember, but cereal don't do shit. Like, as far as, like, making you full or had enough or nothing, like, you could eat that shit for a day. Honestly.
Yeah. But...
I never felt satisfied for cereal. I always just felt like I was like a snack, kind of.
Yeah.
But if we get to that fight scene, Craig takes them on one-to-one or whatever, and people pretty much choking him the fuck out, threw him on that car and started beating on his fucking chest. I was like, God damn, that's a brutal ass woman.
Now, they did a little teaser that he, like, pretended to fire the gun like a dream, what he was hoping. Did you really think he shot him?
Yeah, I told you. I thought he shot his big ass. I saw that scene, because the screen goes black before it shows the flashback, and I was like, damn, did he just shoot his big ass? And I thought he shot him, but then when I saw the flashback, I was like, oh, okay, he didn't shoot him. He probably just having, like, some flashback memories to calm him down, listen to reason, and just whoop his ass instead of, you know.
And the funny thing is, this all happens on Stanley's yard where he's been yelling at him the whole time, stay off his grass.
And the look on Stanley's face the whole time they're on there, he's just like, I thought I told him to stay off my damn grass. Even when they're destroying Stanley's car and shit,
yeah.
Stanley's like grabbing on with John Witherspoon, he's like, he's like freaking out and shit, he's like, ah. But, and what saved Craig this fight was a fucking brick.
Mm-hmm.
He chugged that fucking brick at his ass.
Then he just went off and started punching the fuck out of him.
I've used a rock before. I've never used a brick. I've always wanted to use a brick, but, you know, there never was no bricks in the area or whatever, but I use a rock, and that shit does hurt like a motherfucker.
I never been hit with a rock.
Yeah, you launched that motherfucker, especially one of the big, back in my elementary school, he's definitely got, right now I'd probably be in jail, but back then we was only like in 5th, 4th grade or whatever, something like that, so I picked up this big ass rock and I domed it at this motherfucker right in the back of his fucking head or whatever, so... it was fair.
It was. Debo was a big motherfucker.
He probably was a big motherfucker or whatever. But, yeah, I would start picking up more bricks and throwing it at his ass, to be honest with her. That shit was hilarious when he knocked his ass out. And all you hear is in the background, that's my dog. That's my dog. Come on, Miss Parker. That's my dog. Y'all got any more problems, y'all just call me, because that's my dog.
And I love the, when the end where he goes, where Nia Long walks past the parents and he goes, ooh, cutie pie.
Cutie pie. And just slaps some shit out of him or whatever. And the whole time this is all happening, Stanley is just standing right there staring at people on his grass.
I know. And Red takes his chain back. He goes, my grandmama gave me that chain. Punches him.
Grandma gave me this chain, man.
Then he takes the beach cruiser and he's all happy.
He's like, Greg. Yeah. Chris Tucker comes over. You got knocked the fuck out. Now give me my goddamn money. You know? Starts checking his pockets and shit. He's like, pay back some motherfucker, nigga.
And Dana's friend who came to their hair, like, the dad's like trying to like pretend to fight her, and she's like, stop.
They all proud and shit like that. Like, any one of y'all would have got your ass whipped by Debo going up.
And, well, the thing with Red, that he's not his scenes. He's got 3 scenes, pretty much. And that he gets his chain ripped off. And Craig's the only one that stood up for him.
Yeah.
Which, and then he goes crying to his car, his arms flailing side by side.
He ran, though, like, his arms and legs off flailing and shit. You know, like one of those things that stand, those inflatable foam phones.
Yes.
Like one of those and shit.
And Smokey goes, he's going to go cry in the car.
Yeah, he's going to go cry in the car right now. Whatever. Damn, he's crying in the car now. He takes off and shit.
But I loved Smokey's reaction. He goes, I got mind control over Debo. He tells me to shut up. But when he leaves,
sit your ass down.
I talk again.
When he leaves, I'll be talking, yeah. See me here? I shut up. I shut the fuck up, yeah. But when he leaves...
Which, is that true, that there's always one bully on a street and they won't mess with the people on the other street?
Yeah.
Okay.
We used to have that back then, whatever. I want to say, this chick I was, I don't know if it was called dating back then. The chick I was kissing on back in elementary school.
You're going steady?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, steady, if you want to call it that, whatever. Because damn sure wasn't dating and shit. Where the fuck were we going to go? To McDonald's right around the corner or whatever? I had no fucking car at 10 years old. But anyway, I want to say her brother whooped the shit out of the damn bully of the... I remember back in even middle school, we had this bully back at the school or whatever, and my buddy used to tell me about in class, like, man, he's always fucking with people and shit like that. I was like, you better hope I don't ever get a class because he fucked with me. I'm going to beat the living shit out of him. He never fucked with me, but I remember hearing my buddy that I used to always hang out with, he was gone for a while. I was like, why is he gone? And I heard up he beat the living shit out of that bully's ass or whatever. That bully transferred schools and shit.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, and movie ends with Smokey calling Big Worm, I ain't selling your shit no more. I'm going to rehab. I'm stopping. I'm quitting this shit. I ain't smoking no more or whatever. And then next thing he pulls out a joint. And I was just bullshitting. And you know this, man.
That's a pretty good impersonation.
Don't you, Chris Tucker is one of my favorite black actors. I actually like Chris Tucker more than Will Smith.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I can, from previous shows, I can understand that one.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is actually one of my favorite comedies, 1995, and I can still watch it today, bring a group of friends over. The only thing I regret is not ever showing Lena this movie.
She's never seen it?
She's never seen any of them.
Damn.
I was like, how are you black?
This is educational video for black people.
Well, I remember I showed her the Janet Jackson clip when she was last year when she was out here or whatever. And she was just in tears. I know. I showed her that when we was on when we saw you guys. Oh, we was in Ohio, whatever.
Oh yeah.
And she was in tears a lot. And I was like, I gotta show you this movie. I was like, I can't believe you've never watched this. This is. I was like, you're gonna understand why I love Chris Tucker so much because of this movie right here.
What was the time frame from next Friday and this movie?
I want to say Next Friday came out like in 2000 or 99.
Yeah, it was 2000. Like in the movie story, was it like just a couple of months? You know, never really said how long it.
Oh, I'd say it was a year.
Okay.
I don't think it was long. It was the time frame of the movie. It was definitely not long. Right? It was probably like you said, a couple of months to a year at least.
Okay.
And I gotta say, man, like I said, one of my favorite comedies, 1995, and I still watch it today. Get a group of friends, and I still watch it today. Love it, having on Blu-ray. One of the first Blu-rays I actually got when I got my Blu-ray player, actually. Favorite, probably, yeah, I don't know, it's probably definitely
my favorite. You know, one of my scenes we didn't talk about, I remember when after Craig smoked and he starts freaking out.
I know what you're about to bring up.
And they go into the house and he goes, want some Kool-Aid? You know I want some Kool-Aid, man.
Why would you even ask me that, man? Come on. We ain't got no sugar. Damn! I ain't never got two things that match. Kool-Aid, no sugar, peanut butter, no jelly, bread, no ham, hamburger, no ham, no burger. Damn!
What? I ain't got no sugar.
You ain't got no sugar? Damn! Y'all ain't never got two things that match. Either y'all got Kool-Aid, no sugar, peanut butter, no jelly, ham, no burger.
Then, no, I thought he was going to bring up the scene where Nia Long comes in, and she's like, Craig, are you hot? She's like, nah, I'm cool. And then he looks at the dogs, and the dogs go,
Yeah, he keeps wiping himself off.
His reaction to that, he was like, what the fuck?
That, like, just watching them, like, how, that was like, that's perfect, especially when you don't date, when you like a girl. That is how they acted. That was pitch perfect.
Oh my god, yeah, just very pitch perfect, though, but like, once again, the reactions to everyone in this movie is just like, they were just spot on perfect, though. Like, the reaction, these are the reactions people would be having, you know, I related to most of these characters. The motherfucker got high for the first time, and then inanimate objects start talking to him.
Yeah.
He's gonna react that way.
Yeah.
So, what do you give it?
I don't want to say a bucket, because I do like it a lot, but Bucket's like perfect movie, but I'm gonna have to give it a large. The characters were great. I don't think there was a script. I don't think there was. I think the parents had the script because both of them are probably the most prestigious actors in the movie.
And if Ice Cube said only one that didn't have lines was Chris Tucker, and I have to say that from all these actors in here, if they were given a script, then they did that shit very well. I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, this is Tucker's, I think, first big role.
Mm-hmm. This is what gave him his breakthrough.
Yeah, because he was in Meter Man and House Party 3.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Cube, I think, his Boys in the Hood, And what else was he in? Trespass, Higher Learning, stuff like that. But
Triple X, the sequel.
Yeah, Three Kings.
Three Kings.
Barbershop, which I actually like Barbershop.
Barbershop 1 and 2, I think. Mm-hmm. Plus, he also got his, like, Are You There Yet?
He's a producer, too, isn't he? Isn't he producing the TV show?
Yeah, he produced TV shows. Also, he has that football movie he did with that girl. I think it was Game Change or something like that. He's actually got a couple of... He has a lot of fucking movies, though. I remember I was looking it up on Netflix, because I thought I saw Friday on Netflix or whatever, and I was looking it up, and I typed in Ice Cube's name, and he had a couple of movies on there. I was like, oh, he did that? I didn't even know that or whatever. But I would have thought that the dude from NWA would have been...
He's probably the most famous one from NWA.
He's probably the most famous dude from L.A., to be honest. as far as, like, a rapper went actor, director, producer, you know.
Yeah, I mean, he directed that... I don't know if you ever watch ESPN, 30 for 30.
Yeah, I've seen it.
They talked about the Raiders moving, and he directed that.
And also, you know... His kids' movies are pretty successful, too. I mean, they're not like gangbusters, but they make their money back and then some, so... Mm-hmm.
So he's a pretty successful actor. I don't think he raps anymore, but...
I can't remember. I want to say he did do a last album. I think it was a West Side Connection album, though. I don't think he did his own solo album, but that album came out, like, back in 2004, maybe, or something.
Yeah, because I remember when I was a freshman, Today Was a Good Day was his hit.
Yeah.
And that song was, like, huge.
Yeah, I still play that song.
I still once in a while, because the video is pretty cool, too.
Yeah, exactly. It almost reminds me of this movie.
Yeah. But,
go ahead and say, this definitely is my favorite comedy ever or whatever. I love this movie. I mean, it's like I said, it's a fucking classic. I mean, I still today didn't understand how Lena didn't see it. If you're black and you haven't seen this, you need to turn in your black card. But Seesaw it before some black.
I seen this. I've owned this for probably over 12 years.
Wow, still have it. Look at that, people. Shit, see, it's on his black. Hey, brother, let me introduce you to the black hub. Here you go. Here's your card.
Sweet, thank you. I'll take it.
We hear you white people make some of the finest Kool-Aid ever. So.
Well, here's a funny thing. You talk about, like, waking up, because we were talking before we started the show. Remember Ice Cube, when Nia Long says, what time are you waking up? 8:30? I kept thinking, no black person waking up at 8:30.
Well, remember he told her, because he said earlier than that, but then he's like, 8:30. And he changed his mind, but then when she started walking away, he was like, yeah, 8:30. Never mind.
Then he says 7:30.
I was like, Nia Long, should I wake up any fucking time she wants? Shit.
Which, this is...
At the end, dude, she was heavy flirting with him after that or whatever. I was like, she was just on. I was like...
Well, one thing I do question, when did this, I mean, Dana was in school, alright? But the kids are like, little Chris, he was never in school. And how does that make sense?
Because it's a little fucking hoodlum. You've never seen that before? Why is that like a shocker to you? You've never seen that before?
No.
Really? Wow. Yeah, give me a black card back then.
I was black for 5 seconds.
You've never seen that before?
No. I grew up in Swan. You've seen Swan.
Okay, well, grew up in Compton, man, L.A. We used to have a lot of students that never came to class or school or nothing like that, whatever.
Yeah, but I was just curious.
Yeah, we still have that shit today. Whatever, little badass bastards floating around.
Well, in Ohio, we have truancy police.
Oh, wow.
Yep, if kids aren't in school, they go hunt those fuckers down.
Damn, you guys are strict, whatever. But I'm going to give this. My rating is a full C. It's a high C. This is the first high C I've ever given, actually.
Really?
I'll give this a high C. This is like, this is damn near up there, like, top of the echelon. This movie right here is why I get so upset at black comedies today when I see them in theaters and shit like that. Cause I'm like, these shits are lazy. Like they don't capture nothing. Like they're pretty much just stereotypes because they think that's gonna be funny. It's like you could add some humor of the city you grew up in and stuff like this movie did. I mean, back then, 95 to 97, that was back then, like, where all the black comedies were coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, the romantic ones, like The Wood, which took place with both the dudes and the Inglewood, shit like that. I was like, those were just, like, fucking fantastic because you related to the characters, you understood their stories because we was going through that when we were children and stuff like that. So I mean, but now it's just like, it's so Hollywood now. But I give it a high C.
Yeah, it's definitely this movie. Surprisingly, you can watch this over and over again and still laugh every single time.
Definitely, like I watched it. I haven't seen it in a while, but I watched it yesterday, and I was in tears of laughter still at that Janet Jackson scene. I don't know care how many times I looked that scene up on YouTube or whatever. I still like fall out laughing at that scene. But yeah, it definitely has a lot of replay value, and I'm glad this actually got a chance to review this because I love this fucking film. Actually,
it's a great movie.
Yeah, you ready to get in some comments here?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
We got a. First one comes here from Jamie. Says, for the Social Network, says, this movie is okay, but really, a movie about Facebook, at least this wasn't a remake or a sequel. Eisenberg carried this movie as was awesome.
I agree.
I guess I could, whatever. I actually thought the drama in it was good. I mean, I hear him saying it's okay. I thought it was pretty damn... I thought it was pretty handled well for... Like you said, really a movie about Facebook? Yeah, a really movie about Facebook that actually carried itself pretty goddamn well, I gotta say.
Yeah, I mean, he might be, I don't know, he or she, I don't know, because Jamie could be a girl, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think we discussed this last week, that when they came out with the movie for Facebook, everyone said it was a joke.
Yeah, they were laughing at this. They were like, Hollywood's really grown out of fucking ideas, because this is like one of the first movies where people was like, what? Really?
Well, yeah, because you got now Battleship and people and Jenga, or not Jenga, the Ouija board's movie going to be coming out soon.
Yeah, exactly. So now saying, what? Really? That shit? They're making a movie of that? That's not really, that's pretty known now, whatever. But when this came out, ideas like that wasn't known.
Yeah.
So I can understand that, whatever. But I thought as far as being a movie about Facebook, they did a pretty goddamn good job compared to some of the shit I got to see this year.
Mm-hmm.
Next comment comes from Seth. He says, what is next? A movie about Twitter? What if we combine Twitter and speed? The good guy has to do long, long tweets without going over 140 characters or his phone blows. That's the next Michael Bay movie, actually. I know. Jenga.
wasn't that a spill from the spill video from Battleship?
Was it?
I think because they tried to do Die Hard, they said Jenga.
Oh, really?
I think.
Jenga.
Well, it's going to have... There's going to be a Jenga movie. I guarantee it. You're going to make it an action movie.
Because people talk about how... Because I know when Battleship came out, they had the idea they wanted to do what Marvel's doing with the Avengers as far as with the Hasbro movies, which I thought was a pretty stupid idea. But people was like, oh, Hasbro failed with Battleship. They ain't going to be doing shit. But you got to look at 3 Transformers movies and the 2 G.I. Joe movies, mm-hmm. which are both Hasbro properties. All 5 of those movies did pretty goddamn well, so...
Yeah, they pretty much made their money back.
And then some. I mean, so because Battleship failed, out of 6 movies, 1 failed, I don't think they really give a shit.
I'm not gonna lie, I've seen Battleship, I went to the drive-in and seen it. If it was not entitled Battleship... people probably might have taken it a little more serious.
I don't think so.
When they had that lead actor who was for months been ridiculed about John Carter, hurt it too.
John Carter came. Battleship came out like a month and a half after John Carter, so I wouldn't say it was long. Dude was putting out movies like left and right at the time.
Yeah, now he does small parts now because
good because he sucks.
Because he was in what X-Men was he was in Wolverine.
Yeah,
Origins.
Gambit. He sucked as that, too.
Yeah. He wasn't the Gambit I was expecting.
His first film was John Tucker Must Die. He sucked in that as well.
I never seen that movie.
He's the failure. That's what we used to call him on the show. The failure. He's horrible. Especially when you got scenes of him trying to rob a liquor store with the Pink Panther theme song playing in the background. What is this, a fucking joke?
Mm-hmm.
You expect me to take this serious or whatever? Even if it was about it. That is one movie today. I wish it wasn't my worst of list of time, but I knew Lena would put it on her worst of list, so I was praising that. But that is one movie today where I hear somebody praise that shit, I'd slap the shit out of them and call them an idiot. I don't call people morons or stupid as fuck or whatever for liking a film, but if you like that film, you're a fucking retard.
For Battleship?
Yeah, you are a fucking retard. I've seen that shit twice. The second time was on a plane when I was coming to visit you guys, whatever. And I tried to give it that second. I was like, I really like watching the second. I was like, I fucking can't stand that goddamn movie. That movie is a piece of shit.
It's okay.
It is not okay. You're a fucking moron.
I'm just saying it's okay.
Okay, well, you're still a moron for giving it even some kind of praise, or whatever. That movie is fucking god-awful. I don't even know what they were thinking of making that, but... Next comment comes from Jason. TPO, why so much hate for Timberlake? He's a lot better than some actors out there right now. Right. he's considered an actor now? I didn't know that.
let me pull up what he's been doing, but...
Everything he's done, he sucked at, and everything else he's done has failed, except for Social Network.
Not counting music, but...
Oh, yeah, definitely not counting music. I don't even like his fucking music, to be honest. Like, he has no bass in his fucking voice or whatever. He ain't singing. He want to sing... I call him a double agent. He want to sing, dance, hip-hop with the niggas, but don't want to go to jail with no niggas.
Alpha Dog, you said you hated.
Yeah.
Southland Tales, which is a fucking weird-ass movie.
That's critically bad. All right, that ain't just me. Hey, that is fucking horrible.
It was a weird movie. Shrek the Third Voice doesn't matter. Love Guru.
Or Shrek, compared to what people were saying.
What's that?
They were saying once the Shrek Third came out, that's when Shrek started going downhill.
Shrek 4 was horrible.
Yeah, Shrek 3 started it.
Love Guru. You already said that.
Oh my God, that was a piece of shit. That was when Mike Myers killed his career.
Yeah. Because I was after Shrek.
Yeah, that shit was... Oh, my God. Justin Timberlake, you shit.
Social Network, obviously. Yogi Bear. I guess he did really good as Boo Boo.
Yeah, he was Boo Boo. Which I don't even remember the movie that much.
I've never seen it.
That's how good he was at that. I don't even remember.
Bad Teacher, which he was funny. Friends with Benefits, which is a good movie.
Oh, it wasn't. Benefits wasn't a good movie. What the fuck? That's a generic decent film. Whatever. That's some Netflix shit. That's some straight to Netflix shit.
In Time.
We already know that's a piece of shit.
In Trouble with the Curve. Damn. And a movie called Runner Runner.
Yeah, that's coming out with Ben Affleck. I was like, oh, Ben Affleck, you son of a bitch. What are you thinking? You son of a bitch. I just got done praising you last year. It's like, you know what? Ben Affleck, well, you know what? He's not directing it, so never mind. He's acting it.
No, but they got Leonardo DiCaprio's producing it.
Is he really producing it?
Who's directing it? DiCaprio's producing it.
Who's directing it? I said.
Oh, Brad Furman.
Brad Furman. I wonder what Ben Affleck got an inch. Because I thought Ben Affleck wasn't going to act anymore. As far as like roles that he had, no projects he's working on or whatever.
Maybe he just likes the movie.
Okay.
Oh wait, it's about poker.
I saw the trailer for it or whatever, and I was like, Justin Timberlake, I do not take this fucking guy serious. He's all like, hey, bro, I just want to make some money for the income. And Ben Affleck's yelling, like, if you want something, you take it. I'm just like, Justin Timberlake's going to fuck this movie. I'm sorry.
Well, the movie's got Gemma Arterton.
Yes, Gemma Arterton.
She's hot.
Oh, my God, I love her. Oh. That's if you gotta see Hansel and Gretel, see it for her.
I seen it.
That outfit she's wearing there. She's awful.
And Anthony Mackie's in it too.
Oh my God, Jim. Oh, who cares? Jim Hart. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. You see that movie for her or whatever.
Yeah.
Got a last comment here. Andrew, he replies to Jason. He says, really? Because Justin Timberlake, in my opinion, isn't even an actor in mine. Thank you. He's done one good job, and that was this film. Everything else has just been horrible. In Time was fucking awful. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. What do you mean he's better than some of the actors right now? At least some of the actors try.
I did not mind In Time.
You didn't mind In Time.
I don't see what the plot is kind of interesting.
Then again, the plot is interesting, but the movie is shit. That's like saying the Host.
Yeah, I already hated that movie.
Yeah, exactly. That has cool concepts and an interesting idea in it, but they don't do anything with it, so it's shit. Just because you think it has an idea, the movie doesn't portray it, so why should you give it credit for something you thought was a cool idea, but yet they don't put that on screen? If they don't put it on screen, then that means that you just had a cool idea, not the filmmakers. Therefore, that movie is shit.
Cillian Murphy is good in it.
fuck is he doing in this movie?
Maybe he wanted to buy a new car.
Did Tron hurt him that badly that he had to go and do this? Was he worried the Dark Knight Rises wasn't going to get made? What was he thinking?
Well, this was... I think this is done right after Inception. Or it came out the same year, or after.
It came out 2011, so... Tron came out after Inception, so... what was his last film? Of course, Dark Knight Rises came out last year. And this came out, like, in 2011, like in November or something?
Yeah.
But he's never... Honestly, Cillian Murphy, I guess Inception was his biggest role. Well, besides 28 years later, but as far as...
Red Eye.
I think this was his big... Inception was his biggest role, to be honest. But
well, they had... He was in Red Eye, too, and that's a Wes Craven movie.
Yeah. That's a Throwback Tuesday, Episode 9. Your host, the phenomenal one here.
Z.
And we will catch you guys next week, wherever. I'm over here enjoying the lovely cons of Comic-Con right now.
And you're going tonight?
Yeah, drinking my Mai Tai right now, so...
Yeah, how's the weather?
Pretty good, actually. Well, it's California, come on now. all you gotta do is read the Boy Wonder's Facebook post, he'll tell you all about the fucking weather. Tell you all about the weather and shit. I think he's having an orgasm out here and shit, so...
Well, when he leaves, it turns into a freaking 100 degrees here, so...
Oh, perfect then. Alright, everyone, catch you next time.
Alright, see you later.
Later.
Over there.
So what?
You better get up out of your chair.
That's right.
And work your body down.
Yeah.
No time to fuck around, cause we don't.
Fuck you, right on up. So get up, get a move on, and get your groove on. It's the D.R.E., the spectacular. In the party, I go for your neck, so call me Dracula. As I drain a nigga's jugular vein and maintain the lead bloodstain, so don't complain, just chill. Listen to the beats I spill, keeping it real enables me to make another meal.